Our second lesson today comes from John chapter 18. Listen again for God's word. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again,
summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" One of the sketches in Garrison Keillor's weekly A Prairie Home Companion always starts in the same way. A dark night in a city that knows how to keep its secrets. But on the 12th floor of the Acme building, one man is still trying to find the answers to life's persistent questions. Guy Noir, Private Eye. I can't say it like they do, but life's persistent questions are persistent because they're so hard to answer, which led me to do a Google search on the phrase persistent questions and unanswered questions. Google had a lot of answers for me. Well, actually a lot of questions. Here are a few of them. When does it stop being partly cloudy and start being partly sunny? Why are a wise man and a wise guy opposites? If common sense was all that common, wouldn't we all have it? And which baby is the cutest ever? And how can something be both new and improved? If it's new, what was it improving on? And what's another word for thesaurus? And why can't we wish upon the sun if it's a star? And if Cinderella's shoe fit perfectly, why did it fall off? You can find these and many more so-called persistent or unanswerable questions online. But really, many of these questions are in fact answerable. The question about babies, for example, is easy. The cutest baby is my baby. There's only one answer to that one. And you can wish upon the sun because it is a star. Today's scripture lesson contains one of the biggest of life's persistent questions. In fact, the reading today is full of questions. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus a number of questions, and Jesus responded to all of them. All of them except one. The last one. Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" And Jesus said nothing. If he did respond to the question, John doesn't tell us. It's not recorded anywhere. Perhaps Jesus simply said nothing because he sensed that Pilate was asking a rhetorical question, a question of frustration coming from a guy under political pressure. What is truth is a question with which some politicians often have trouble. It's more likely that Jesus didn't respond because he knew Pilate wasn't really looking for the truth. Pilate wasn't looking for the truth so much as something that was expedient. You know, what is the least likely cause to riots in the streets? What will keep my polling numbers high? What will keep Caesar from calling about all the complaints he's getting from the people in my province? Whatever Pilate's reason for asking, Jesus didn't answer him or us. The conversation today in our scripture passage is part of a larger story of Jesus' trial and crucifixion. If we put today's story in its context, we have to ask, why was Jesus even on trial? What's so dangerous about Jesus and what he did in his ministry? As one author asks, what did Jesus do that was so offensive to the religious authorities that they handed him over to the secular ones to be killed? What's threatening about life, light, grace, and truth? Why does healing on the Sabbath elicit scorn? Why does Jesus pointing to God make the God professionals angry? Is there something inherently dangerous about feeding the hungry, reaching out to the Samaritans, and healing those on the margins of society? I mean, we wouldn't think so. We're talking about a guy who healed the sick, hung out with nobodies like fishermen and prostitutes and tax collectors. The crowds that gathered around him were blind beggars and children and desperate parents. Powerless women with no place or position in society welcomed him into their homes. What would be so threatening about that group of people? They weren't the powerful. Couldn't the powerful just ignore Jesus? So what if he calls God his Father, or taught about prayer, or the kingdom of God? What was different this time from the other religious fanatics that had done some of the same things before? What was different this time was that it was all true. Jesus really was and is the Son of God, and many people were saying so and continue to say so today. John the Baptist said someone greater than him was coming after him. The woman at the well told people that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus fed 5,000 people and they wanted to make him a king. Jesus healed a blind man and he felt so emboldened that he told the religious leaders they were wrong. Jesus was more than an itinerant preacher and teacher and healer. The order of things was being upended in his ministry. He was changing things. And when change is afoot, then or now, those for whom the current setup is working are certain to try and stop it. We like change only if it benefits us. And if anyone could stop Jesus, it would certainly have been Pilate. We know a lot about him. He was a governor of Judea for 10 years. He was so fierce in his rule that he was recalled to Rome and put on trial for cruelty and oppression. His callousness was legendary. You did not want Pontius Pilate as your judge. And guess who Jesus got? Pilate started today's reading with a question: "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus gave him an answer about his kingdom. Pilate repeated his question: "So you are a king of the Jews? You are a king?" Jesus replied, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." That's when Pilate asked his question: "What is truth?" Jesus didn't answer that question, probably because Pilate wasn't ready to hear it. He wasn't ready to hear the truth about who Jesus really was. It reminds me of that compelling scene toward the end of the movie, A Few Good Men. Tom Cruise plays Colonel JAG lawyer Lieutenant Daniel Caffey, and he must get Jack Danielson's character, Colonel Nathan Jessup, to admit that he ordered a code red that resulted in the death of a soldier. Caffey says, "Colonel Jessup, did you order a code red?" The judge intervenes: "You don't have to answer that question." Colonel Jessup says, "I'll answer that question." He looks at Caffey and he says, "You want answers?" Caffey says, "I'm entitled to them." "You want answers?" Jessup repeats. "I want the truth," Caffey says. "You can't handle the truth," Jessup replies. Maybe Jesus knew that Pilate couldn't handle the truth that Jesus had embodied and taught throughout his life. That God loves us. That God wants us to be reconciled to God. That God's kingdom is not like earthly kingdoms. That we should love God and our neighbors as ourselves. That God's word is truth. And maybe the biggest of Jesus' statements, that Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life. There it is. There's the answer to Pilate's question: what is truth? Truth is not an ideology. It's not a philosophical construct. Truth is a living, breathing reality in the person of Jesus Christ. We don't follow an idea. We follow a person. But isn't it so much easier to understand some words on a page or in a dictionary? What does it mean to follow truth in a person? Maybe that's what Pilate knew. Maybe that's what Jesus knew Pilate couldn't handle. Maybe that's why it's so hard to answer Pilate's question, "What is truth?" The answer of our faith cannot be boiled down into a sentence or a definition, because you can't do that to a person. Truth is embodied in a person, the living Word of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. What is truth is not an impossible question to answer, but it may not be the best question for us to focus on. Did you catch Jesus' earlier answer to Pilate? When Pilate asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Maybe the better question for us to answer is this: do we belong to the truth? And are we listening to the voice of Jesus? Notice that Jesus didn't say, "Those who have a corner on the truth listen to my voice." He said, "Those who belong to the truth listen to my voice." People who have a corner on the truth can be downright scary and dangerous to God's will in this world. But Jesus said that everyone who belongs to Him, who belongs to the truth, listens to His voice. What are we doing to belong to the truth? What are we doing to listen to the voice of Jesus? This is a big question we ask at the end of the Christian year, this last Sunday before we begin Advent again next Sunday. This is the question we ask on Christ the King Sunday. To which truth do we pledge our highest allegiance? To which truth do we listen to first? After all the teaching and the preaching and the worship and the singing and the praying that we do, after all the grace and the forgiveness and the passing of the peace, the stewardship and the giving, eating around a table together, serving meals, baptisms, mission trips, and all the rest, we have to look back and ask the question, which truth do we pledge our first allegiance to? As one author puts it, kings and kingdoms of this world will do everything they can to build themselves up. Jesus' kingdom is about giving, not getting. World kingdoms seek to glorify themselves. Jesus seeks to glorify God. Kingdoms of this world seek out allies to bolster their strength. Jesus' kingdom is filled with those the world often rejects. And if we listen closely to the story today, Jesus could have called on His followers to save Him by going to war with Pilate's armies, who were all too ready to fight, but the Prince of Peace didn't. What does it mean to belong to the truth? It means that we look at all people as being made in the image of God, and that shapes us more than those who are peddling a truth that we should fear people different from us. To belong to the truth means that people are not defined by what they can do for us, but by the grace and love of God that creates us as community. To listen to Jesus' voice means we welcome the stranger, we love the enemy, we stand by the weak, we heal the hurting, we listen to the doubting, and we forgive as we have been forgiven. We feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we give gifts to prisoners and their families. To belong to the truth means that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And our first and our highest task in this life is to be the people we were created to be, so that we glorify God over any other king or kingdom of this world. Wherever we are on our Christian journey, on this Christ the King Sunday, we're invited to belong to the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We belong to the truth when we listen to Jesus' voice, and it shapes who we are and how we live. We're invited to give more than we receive. We're invited to stand by the rejects, the hurting, the broken of this world. We're invited to be people of peace, hope, love, and joy in the midst of a darkness that is here. when we listen to our King, those qualities of Christ's kingdom will inhabit us. Christ will be present among us, and the world will know the truth. Amen.